to see this number this morning, to see everyone and on this rainy, cold weekend. And I'm very thankful that, best I can tell, I didn't really hear of any too bad of flooding or anything here in our area. But I'm thankful for the rain that we did receive, and I think that was needed. But again, let's pray for one another and keep each one another on our hearts and minds. Miss Wava and her family is just a lot to be in prayer about, a lot of things going on. And I just want to say also this morning how good it is to see Sister Sarah's family here with us. That's a blessing. It's always good to see people come and visit and everyone else here this morning. And, you know, as we were singing before church started, right about the time church started, we were singing. And I noticed that we were standing, and about the time we started singing that third song, I sit down, and it was a song about standing up for the Lord, you know. And I was like, I looked over Brother Finley, and I didn't say anything, but I was like, man, I got this backwards, you know. I'm like, I shouldn't have been sitting down. But I want to tell you something. When you're standing on the front, you might be the only one standing. And so just know that. Sometimes if you see that, I'm always afraid. I always glance back to see if everybody's standing up or sitting down or whatever. So sometimes you might be the only one standing, but I guess that's all right too, I guess. But if you will, let's be turning to Luke chapter number 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. It is good to see you smile. Good to see you. I know sometimes it's hard to laugh and smile with things, but it is good when we can gather in fellowship. That's a very important part of why we gather in the local independent church, is to have a time of fellowship together. I heard Josh testify one time about how much he enjoyed being in church. He felt like that was his place to be, a good, solid, safe place to be, and it should be. A place of fellowship, a place that we can get along with one another as brothers and sisters. And I greatly appreciate that. I appreciate the unity and the spirit that we have here in the church. That's a driving force. It's hard to preach without liberty. It's hard to teach without liberty. So I'm thankful for the liberty that we have in the Lord. And I'm thankful for the message this morning, what he shared with me, and been kind of looking at a few different things. But, you know, I just want to say this. This is a very simple message. It's very simple. I think sometimes we look for deep things or want to really expound on things and think that if we didn't really go deep into something that we didn't really do anything. But, you know, the Bible, a lot of it is very simple. People's lives are so complex, they really just need a simple answer, need some simple help. And that's what I pray this morning that we can receive from this message. It's very, very simple, but I believe it'll be very helpful. Has anybody here ever lost anything? Yeah, everybody's raising their hand, yeah. My goodness, the more stuff you carry, the more stuff you have to lose, you know. I mean, that's kind of how that is. And does anybody get irritated when you lose something? Amen. Depends on how valuable it is. Saturday, you ever lose a TV remote? That's not good. I mean, football Saturday, you know, that's bad. Brother Terry, thank you for these. I've tried not to lose them yet. You know, you start carrying something new, it's easy to lose. But yeah, I mean, thankfully I've not been too bad. I think usually a lot of times it's just a matter of forgetting something. A lot of times I'll, you know, maybe forget my phone or wallet or something. And I remember Josh one time, he lost his wallet and had to go all the way back into Ashe County. And believe it or not, it was still laying on the yellow lines in the road. I mean, sure enough, but they found it. You know, I thought that's kind of neat. But this is an interesting thing. It's been a while since I've lost something. And I lost a knife. And I, you know, if you have a good knife, men, ladies, if you have a good knife, you know if you've got a good one. And I purchased this back, Brother Raymond, about the beginning of the year. And it was a 22-something. It was a Swiss Army knife. And I thought, you know, this is a neat little knife. And we were there. Family went there for the holidays, what have you. And so I thought it was neat. I was like, I'll get this. And I carried it up until about the beginning of September. And now I can't find it. And I don't have a clue where that thing is at. Normally something that's valuable to you, you know, you kind of keep it close and you carry it. A knife, you know, you try to use a tool or something. And what have you, have it with you. But for the life of me, I cannot place where that's at. I've got Brandy looking. I think Josh has helped me look. I've looked all over the house. But when you lose something and you start looking for it, you get to the point of thinking, now where in the world could that thing be? I mean, I remember having it, when I started that app, I remember having it there on my desk. So I've looked in my office there, looked around the house, looked around the car, the places that I had it. But it plagues me to just try to figure out, Brother Curtis, where I left it. Where is that thing at? You know, and I just thinking about looking for it. And where is that? Did somebody get it? Did somebody pick it up? Did somebody take it? Will I ever find it? But in the message this morning, I want us to think about the one that's lost this morning. You know, I've got a whole lot of other knives at the house. And I've not even picked up another one to carry. I'm afraid I'll lose it. I just left them all in the closet where I had it. But you know, that was the one that I was carrying. How many of you collect things? You collect different things. A lot of people do. I'm seeing people raise their hands. It's fun to collect things. When you have a collection of things, you see them. But you know, if one is missing, your collection is just not whole. It's just not together. I was thinking about my grandma, Grandma Reba. She collects salt and pepper shakers. You know, if you lost one of those of that set, it's not a set anymore. But wouldn't it just kind of just get under your skin a little bit, just wanting to know where that thing is at? But you know, when we're talking about this parable that's given here, but it's some really good teaching here. Again, it's very simple. When you start talking about the love of God and how God loves you, He loves you individually. You know, He loves this congregation. He loves us as a church. He loves us as a family. He loves us as a community. But I want you to know this morning, He loves you independently. He loves you. He loves sinners. Aren't you thankful that the Lord loves sinners?
Amen.
That's the title that says here, Concerning God's Love for Sinners. That's what I see here when I read this, and I'm just thankful that He loves old sinners. If we're not careful, as we'll see some of these folks here, we'll get too big for our britches or thinking that we're not in that category anymore. But I'm here to tell you, we are. And I'm so thankful that God misses me when I'm not present. I can go back in life and think about a time that I wasn't being faithful, and I am so thankful that people were praying for me. I was missed, Brother Dale. I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it that way. But you know, if you're not here, when you're not here, I promise you, you're missed. The church notices it. I notice it. You are absolutely missed. And this is one of those messages I was thinking about this morning and preparing is, this is one of those messages that the person that needs to hear it probably won't be here to hear it. That's kind of how it is sometimes. The one that's not in the flock, the one that's not around. But you know, Lord willing, it'll get around and we reach out to people. That's the way the Lord wants us to be, is our missionary work or ministry work is outside the four doors. This is where we come together to rejuvenate one another, to get replenished, to get help, to fellowship. But I really want us to take this to heart this morning. Think about when you were lost, if you're this morning, you're saved, and the Lord sought you out and found you, remember what that time of life was like for you. I can remember that so clearly. I didn't realize it as much then as I do now. How dangerous of a time that could have been, and how dangerous of a time that really is. Being outside of the hedge of the church and the help of the flock. With the Lord's help this morning, I just want to preach for a few minutes on the topic of the one. The one. We see here in Luke chapter number 15, verse number 1, it says here, Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning just again, just so thankful for your provision that you give to us and your protection, Lord, that you provided for us. God, thankful that the storm here, from what I understand, was not as bad as it could have been, Lord, but we do know that it has been devastating for others. God, I pray that you would help us to reach out to those communities or those people, churches, Lord, however you would lead us to do that. God, I pray you guide us in that and that you would send us to help those, Lord, that you would have us to. I know there's so many needs, loss of life, just devastating, God. And it could be us in another way at another time, God, but we just want to be a help when we can be and follow you and follow your guidance, God. Lord, I pray for that one here today that's lost. I know, Lord, it'd be easy to say maybe that we know of those who have not made professions, God, but I know you know every heart. Lord, I know that you know who is in need of salvation, Lord, who is in need of returning, God, and I just pray that you provide that need to each one. God, I know that you love us individually and how you think of us individually and you take care of us as a flock, God. But God, I just pray that you help us here today. Replenish our hearts, God. Help us to see your love and how much you love us. Lead us and guide us here. I pray that you guide my heart, guide my mouth. Lord, help me say everything I should. Lord, nothing that I shouldn't, God. Just lead me and guide me in your will, in your way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see here in verse number 1 how it starts out in the Gospels. You see a pretty common trait when things start out. You see the opposition came out to see what the Lord was going to say next. You see here in verse number 1, chapter 15, again, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear them." So the publicans, you know, I always think when I hear that, I think Republicans, all the Republicans, or all the Democrats, I think all the political people. But the publicans here, that's the tax and toll collectors, the tax administrators, those who would collect and take money. And you know, when you look back and you see different testimonies in the Bible, people misuse that money quite often. And you see here also the sinners. What is a sinner? A sinner, if you look it up by definition, that's one that voluntarily violates the divine law. It's an offender. And every single one of us is an offender. In thinking about it like this, sometimes I think it could be misconstrued that people go to church and maybe their name is on the roll and they go to church regardless if they take part or not. Regardless if they worship or not or do anything or not, it's like I was there. And sometimes I think they count that as credit and it almost elevates them just a little bit. You know, it's one thing to be here, but you could be here and not be in fellowship with the church. You could be here and not be in fellowship with the Lord. So you really need to see the status of where your heart is, just not necessarily where you are physically. See, it's easy to say, well, I go to church every Sunday and I tithe. Well, let me tell you, your heart can still be wrong. You can be elevated over people. You can elevate yourself. That's what self-righteousness is. You know, as I was studying this and thinking about self-righteousness, that is not going to lead one person to the Lord. A person doesn't look at a sinner, a lost person, an outside of church person, never looks at a self-righteous person and says, you know what, I want to be just like them. Now when you see Jesus, his servant leadership, a lot of times people will see Jesus if they'll take him to heart and what he did, and they'll say, you know, he's a good example to follow. I'll never be as perfect as him, but he is a very good example to follow. I want to be like him. Nobody wanted to be like these Pharisees. They set the bar so high that they themselves could not even satisfy. And they would look at other people and say, just try to be as good as I am. Just try to do as good as I'm doing. Even though they knew in their heart that they weren't doing any good either. They just looked the part, walked around. If we're not careful, in this day and age, the church can be looked at just like that. I know a lot of times we're accused of being that way. But you see here, the Lord, he loves sinners. He wanted to be with these people. Now you got to be careful. You can't run around and start doing things or carrying on with people that you're not supposed to and start acting like they're doing. You're not supposed to do that. But you see here, the Lord went to help them. And you see how they're going to accuse him here. The tax collectors, the toll collectors, the innkeepers, the sinners, they went to hear him. They wanted to see what he was going to say next. The Pharisees and scribes murmured. The Pharisee, that's the strict observance of rites. They're the ones that's all about tradition. This is the way we always do it. This is the way it's always going to be. That's my seat. You're in it. Would you please move? This is what we do every Sunday. I sit here. We sing these songs. We sing about two or three. This is how we do it. Traditionally, this is how we do it. The Lord wrecked tradition. Boy, he changed all about tradition. He said, you can forget about all those rites and all those types of things. He said, it's about what's in your heart that I'm concerned about. Let's get that right. Let's get your heart right. And then all these other things will come to be the way they're supposed to be. But boy, they come in to see if they could try to catch him doing something wrong. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and he eats with them." He's hanging out with the sinners, so you know that can't be right. They went to tear him down. Even though he was helping people, saving people, healing people, they went to tear him down. And that's what they had against him. That's like saying, look at that doctor. You know what? He or she, they're accepting patients. Can you believe that? They're going to get sick. My goodness, they're taking patients in and they're trying to make them feel better. It's the same thing. You think about what your life would be like without the Lord. Without His healing, without His salvation, what life would you have? What life would any of us have aside from the Lord? And the Lord, He went out to be with them, to show them, to give them a different life. And that's the one thing that you can see here. It was guilt by association is what they tried to trip Him up or tried to accuse Him of doing, trying to help those that were around Him that come to hear Him. You see in verse number 3, you see the Lord is speaking a parable to them to try to help them understand. You know, the Pharisees, they never really got it. The Sadducees, they never really got it. They were so locked in their tradition of "I am not going to change" that they could not hear what the Lord was saying. I think for us today, we get locked in different things. I think we get locked, Brother Nathan, in things we've heard before that sound good, that sound right, that may not even be in the Bible. And then we take that on as doctrine and we won't move off of that. Sometimes even if we see it in black and white, we won't move off of it. I've talked to people about different things in doctrine and they'll say, "I believe this way." Okay, that's fine that you believe that way. Could you please show me in the Bible where it says that so I can understand it? Well, I know it's in there. Well, that's fine. Could you just show it to me? And quite often, Brother Bill, they can't. It's tradition. It's something they've heard, something that sounded good, and there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and they've kind of created their own religion, and they won't move off of it, even if they can see it in God's Word that it's a different way. I think a lot of that has to do with pride. People say, "Well, I'm right. This is how I believe." Our belief should always line up with God's Word. That's why the Lord was always giving illustrations so people would think and could see. It's easy to say something in black and white, but you know, I'm the type of person that learns by laying my hands on something. You could read in a book to me how I'm supposed to put a piece of furniture together or something, but if you walk me through that and you help me do that and I actually physically lay hands on and do it, I'm going to be much more successful. That's how I learn. And see, that's why the Lord gives illustrations in His Word. He's showing us. He's saying, it's like this. So I'll give you an illustration. He was talking about this here. He was talking about how God loves sinners and how God loves us individually. I used to think I could get lost in the mix. If I was in church or not, nobody would notice. But I realize now how much people did notice. I notice when you're not here. I worry about you when you're not here. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Are you sick or something else going on? I know there's a lot of things that can pull young families outside of church, a lot of things. Sports, recreation, a lot of things that goes on, and in their own right, I don't see anything wrong with it. But here's the thing that we have to remember. If God truly is the most important thing, then our actions will reflect that. Every day of the week. Or it's something that we work in. I want us to understand that this morning. He's talking about here, about His love for sinners. We see here in verse number 3, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, Verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" If you had 100 sheep and you're missing one, how many people would say, "Well, I've still got 99, that's really good. It's just not worth it to leave the 99 to go after that one." Well, see, the 99 is safe in the flock. You know, I never went back to my closet to look and start counting the knives that I knew were there. I didn't do that. I knew where they were at. But I was looking at all the other places that I could have misplaced the knife that I lost. I was all over those places. I went like, "Well, you know, I got all these other ones. That one don't mean that much." See, that's how you think about how the Lord looks at you. He loves you. He's got a task for you, just like Brother Mike was saying. That was so true, Brother Mike, talking about people going through life and maybe not finding out what their purpose from God is. That would be one sad life to live. It just really would be. I promise you on the authority of God's word, if you start seeking out what the Lord has for you, He will show you. It might be preaching, it might be teaching, it might be singing, it might be some form of outside ministry, but I promise you, He has something for you to do. He didn't call anybody to sit idle, none of us. His world, this world, His work is so big that it takes all of us working for Him. And what a joy it is to work for the Lord and see what He would have for us to see and accomplish what He would have for us to accomplish in Him, for Him. So what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until you find it? He's saying here, until you find it. There's a lot here in verse number 4. You have 100, now you're down to 99. And He's leaving the flock just to find that one. That one that's all alone. Have you ever been all alone? Christians, have you ever been outside of church? Have you ever been outside the will of God? Outside the flock? Is that a comfortable place to be? You know how hard life is even if you're inside the flock? You know how vulnerable you are outside of the flock? Vulnerable. I looked up that word. I was trying to find the best word to use. That means susceptible to danger or harm. So in here, we're together. We can look after each other. We can protect each other under the leadership of God. But you step outside of that and you're acting on your own. That's a dangerous place to be. I've been there. You know, when you're outside the will of God, you don't ask God what His will is. You don't. That's the whole thing of being outside the will of God. Brother JP, what you start doing, you start leaning on to your own understanding. I want what I want. I remember a time, many different mornings, I used to love to play basketball. And I was at the Quinn. It was a Wednesday night, and Mom said, "You really need to be at home, or maybe somewhere playing basketball." You said, "You need to come home and go to church." "Well, I want to play ball. My friends are playing ball." We went out and played and everything, and I was coming home late, and next thing I know, there's a truck accident. God ran off the road, down off the side of the road, and I tried to help, and I couldn't see him. Finally, he ended up passing away. Well, that's a warning sign. I remember another time. "You need to be home. You need to be in church." And we was out playing ball, and I jumped up and fell, whatever, sprained both my wrists, Brother Tim. Warning sign. We're vulnerable outside the hedge of the church, every single one of us. Now, I don't want us to think this. I think sometimes that we think that if we uphold somebody or lift somebody up or esteem somebody higher, we'll say, "Sister so-and-so can handle it. She's a strong Christian. Brother so-and-so can handle it. He's in there with the Lord." Now, there's nobody here on this earth that can handle it. I want to tell you that. If we step outside the will of God, we're taking our own life into our own hands. That's risky. That's a vulnerable place to be. You think about that sheep that's out there all by himself. Who's going to warn him? Who's going to help him? Who's going to look after him? That scares me. It scares me to think, "Dad, how it was when I was outside the will of God, what could have happened to me and never got back into the will of God?" And that's when I see more and understand the mercies of God. You see that? And I thought about this lamb, the sheep, and it's out there. And the devil, Satan, he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's that sheep going to do against the lion? Nothing. Not a thing. I don't think sometimes we realize how vulnerable we are. But you see here, the shepherd does. The shepherd, in his mind, he's saying, "I see the harm that they're in. I understand the dangers that they're facing. I understand the problems that they're going to have. And they need to be back in the fold. They need to be back in." A lot of times, it's not the sheep that wanders his way, her way back into the flock. You ever think about that? A lot of times the sheep don't even know, Brother Curtis, that there's anything in dangers going on. If you look at nature, you look at animals sometimes, they just kind of wander around. You look at little beagles, dogs, sometimes they're on the trail of smelling something. They're sniffing out. Next thing you know, they don't even know where they're at. They don't know they're lost. They don't understand that danger. See, sometimes it's like that with us. We don't understand how much danger we're in until we're engulfed in it. And then it's like, what do I do now? Well, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he comes looking after us when we're lost. I can testify in my life, he come looking for me when I was outside the will of God. I can testify to that. I remember the Lord giving Dad a CD to give to me about a message that turned my life around. But I wasn't seeking him. He brought that to me. I didn't say, Dad, you got any good CDs with any good messages, Brother Norman? I didn't do that. The Lord laid it on his heart to do it. He come after me. He come looking after me. He come looking for me. You realize that? You think about that. You get outside the will of God, he's looking for you. He knows. Your pastor knows. Your church family knows. He knows. And I like what it says here. It doesn't say he goes out looking for it a little bit, and if he doesn't find it, he comes back. He says, until he finds it. He looks until he finds you. He's complete, and he's thorough. I'll tell you this morning, if one person is outside of the flock, you're missed this morning. I like verse number 5 here. Again, this is very simple, but I like this here. Verse number 5, it says, and when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And I thought about finding my knife. I know it's a lot smaller thing, but I was like, man, I just want to know where the thing's at above anything right now. I just want to know where I left it. But you imagine something. You lost very valuable. I see this a lot. I see a lot of lost pet signs hanging on different places. People love their pets. I do. I'm guilty. And they're looking. And they want everybody looking for this. We need everybody looking. We need everybody's help. You know, it's the same thing inside of a church. We got somebody missing. Everybody needs to be looking. You imagine missing person signs on the back of the church. Have you seen this member? Where's this member? Can you help us find this member? We can laugh about it, but you know, I'm telling you, that's serious business. Where are they? Are they in danger? Why would you not want to be here? I mean, what's hindering you from being in the house of God? But you look how exciting it would be. And he knew in his mind, I was thinking about this shepherd. He had engraved in his mind what he was looking for. Brother Bill, I believe when he's out looking, he's not thinking about other things. I don't think he's thinking about anything else but that sheep. What that sheep looks like. What that sheep means to him. What that sheep could be in danger of. And that vision of that sheep is in his mind the whole time. And he's looking. He's looking. He's looking. Behind trees, behind bushes, out in the thickets. He's looking. And I thought about this, Brother David. He sees it afar off. That's him. That's him. I didn't know if I was going to find him or not, but there he is. And he goes to him. And he doesn't scold him. It doesn't say that he jumps all over him and he's mad at him, or he ties a rope around his neck and drags him back home. It doesn't say anything like that. It says he picks him up and puts him up on his shoulders. Well, that's good. What does that mean? Well, he knows that sheep's tired and hungry. He knows that sheep cannot defend himself. He knows that sheep's in a mess. And he doesn't keep him down here that any harm's way. He puts him way up here where harm can't even get to him. So I'm going to carry you back home. I'm going to take care of you. I've been missing you. You don't know how happy I am to see you. Do we look at people that way? You know how exciting it would be if I saw my brother walk through that door? How many of you have family members that you're burdened for? That you would love to come back home? That your heart is full for them? You say, I'm in a mess, I can't get back. Yes, you can. The church is a hospital for sinners. That's what this is. We're not afraid of catching this and catching that. The Lord is here to help. That's what the church is. The church isn't one of those things that you run from and flee from. If you're sick, if you're sin sick, this is where you need to be. You don't get well, Brother Dale, before you come to the doctor. You come to the doctor first. And you seek what he has for you. And he'll help you. He'll heal you.
But you think about that. He is so excited. He finally found him. He doesn't scold him. He doesn't jump all over him. He brings him right back in. This leads into the prodigal son, by the way, if you keep reading on. But when he finds it, that joy, he carries it home. He knows that it cannot protect itself, and he keeps him up out of harm's way. See, that's how our Lord is. A lot of times people that get outside the will of God have it in their mind that God is now mad at them. And God is against them. You know, that's the devil telling you that. I promise you that. God is not against anybody. God is not against anybody. He's against the sin that they partake in, but he's not against anybody. Aren't you glad he loves old sinners? It doesn't say here he come to meet with the Pharisees. The Pharisees went to see what he was going to say, but he met with the sinners. That's my crowd. Let's just be honest. That's my group. That's my crowd. That's everybody's crowd. Romans 3:23. But he finds it and he carries it home. He's tired. He's not able to protect himself. But now he's in place with the shepherd. Well, that's a comforting thought to be. I get to go back home. I get to be back in fellowship. You know, that first time back a lot of times is the hardest. But you know, you welcome that person back in. You welcome that lost sheep back in. Boy, they're excited they're back now. What a time of fellowship that is. How exciting it is when you get to be there. We see here again, verse number 5. And we have found it. He layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He is so excited. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That's how it's supposed to be with one another. Not critical. Not pushing out. Again, think about these self-righteous Pharisees. That's the attitude they were taking. They were pushing it back. Them old sinners. Jesus was pulling them in and said, I want to help you. I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life. I want to help you. How exciting it is when you can tell other people about people getting right. You know how fast bad news travels in this day and time? Isn't that about the most part what you hear anymore? Wouldn't you like to hear some good news about people getting in? Boy, I would. I tell you, this day and time, the way things are, the way things are looking, now is the time to get in. I don't know what anybody would be waiting for. As dangerous as it is out there, as many pitfalls as there are out there, now is the time to get in. I wouldn't wait for anything else. He's saying, come and rejoice with me. Come and experience this joy and gladness to a high degree with me, is what he's saying. It's a time of celebration. Church should be a time of celebration for you and I. I was looking at that this morning. You know I can be quiet. Sometimes I'm excited. Sometimes I'm not excited. But every time we come to church, we should be excited. I want to tell you that. You imagine people this morning that woke up a couple of days ago that don't have a church to go to anymore. Well, they'd love to be sitting here like this morning. Home taken care of, vehicles taken care of, everything in place. What a blessing that is. If nothing else, we should be praising God just for that. You know, I don't believe in working people up. I don't believe in all this emotionalism, but I think somewhere along the line, our praise for God should show up somewhere. If we're truly thankful for what he's done for us. Let me throw this in here. You got somebody that owes $5,000. You got somebody that owes $1,000. And somebody comes in and says, I'm going to pay off both of those debts. Who's the more thankful? Say, probably the one that had the $5,000. He had more to pay back. So he's probably more thankful. Well, I'm here to tell you, I've got something, Brother Curtis, I can't pay back. But thank God he paid it for me. I mean, does that not account for every single one of us? I don't think sometimes we can really see and understand what the Lord's done for us, and I think sometimes we take it for granted. But I just want to praise him this morning. I want to rejoice in his name this morning because he found me. He could have left me out there. He could have said he's not worth it. He's too much trouble. Anybody here know any stubborn people? Great day. I know a lot of stubborn people. Stubborn, Brother Raymond, is so popular now, they try to make it into a good attribute. He's just stubborn. Maybe there's a good stubborn, maybe there's a bad stubborn, I don't know, but stubborn is stubborn, I think. Just want to see people get help this morning, see people get where they need to be with the Lord and understand and realize who He is this morning. But through all of this, we see again in verse number 6, it says, "When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I've found him. I've got him back. He's in safety now. In verse number 7, it says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." That's an interesting verse because I'm thinking, well, who needs no repentance? I can't say that I need no repentance. If I say that, then I think I'm telling the Lord He's a liar, that no sin is in me, that I'm not sinning, and no truth is in me. I need repentance every day. But sometimes I think people get to a level that they don't think they need repentance because they don't think they sin anymore. But that one that knows he's in sin, that one that repents, did you know that catches the attention of heaven? Think about that. Think about the news in heaven. This one came back home. This one got right. This one's not out in the world anymore. This one got saved. You know that makes the headline news in heaven? Because see, they know what's waiting on the other side. They see the importance of it. They see it and they understand it. "I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner." You know, they could be a shouting time in the church, but what catches the attention in heaven is that one sinner that comes back home. That one that's willing to make things right. That one that's willing to say, "I'm wrong, Lord. I want to repent." What is repentance? Asking for forgiveness. It's a sorrow or grief for things that's done wrong, not before, not after you get caught, but before. And say, "Lord, I want to make things right. I want things to be right with you." It's a 180 turn. It's asking for forgiveness, and it's a 180 turn. You see the change here. I'm going to close with this morning. Another situation happened this week. I thought it was a very good illustration, and Brandy can attest to this, thinking about how close, again, it's a small thing, it's a simple thing, but how close we were to losing something. The other night after we went and was with Miss Wave and her family, we went out and we had got something to eat, went by the pharmacy. I was picking up some medication and had my drinks and everything, and I was pulling out of Walgreens. Here comes a car in pretty fast, so I had hit the brakes and dumped the cups right in the car. Water's going everywhere. Brandy's lemonade's going everywhere. And I don't like sticky, messy stuff. So it wasn't a fun time. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I'm moving everything that's in the way that's getting wet, and I'm tossing it back here in the back seat, and there's a box and everything, and tossing all that trash. Tossing everything out of the way and getting everything back. And then it was the next morning, I was getting ready to go to work. And I realized I didn't have my work truck key. I didn't have it. Again, it was the knife all over again. I just had this yesterday. Where could I have lost it? And so I'm looking in the car. We hadn't left to go to work yet. And I'm looking in the car and I'm just realizing, you know, I was recounting what happened the day before. And I was like, you know, I was kind of throwing everything around. Life is like that. It's like that by design. The devil wants to keep you in a place that you're throwing everything around and you don't know where you left stuff. Emotionally, spiritually. He don't want you to remember where you're leaving things and what you're doing. He wants to keep you in disarray. And I was just thinking about that. I was just recounting everything. And I was like, you know what? I bet you anything I threw that key in that box that we threw away. So I run back in the house real quick. And I go in there and said, "Brandy," I said, "all that stuff from last night is laying right there on top of the counter." I said, can we look in there and see if I dropped that key in there? And she goes through, and in the very bottom of that box, she said, there it is. She said, you're lucky. I said, yes. I grabbed my key and went on to work. But you know, the whole way into work, I was thinking, you know, that wasn't luck. I'm telling you, that's a small thing. That could be replaced. But that was not luck. That, to me, that was the Lord. I could have started out with a bad day, everything in disarray and a mess, and I know that is a very small, small thing. But the Lord allowed me to find it, made my morning a whole lot better. And I say all that to say, you've got that same opportunity this morning if you're here. You've got that same opportunity. He's laying that out to you saying, here, don't go on missing something. I don't believe in luck. I understand what Brandy was saying, but I don't believe in luck. I believe in the Lord. And he'll help you this morning if you'll let him. If you'll come to him, he'll help you this morning. If you will, stand with me. I appreciate your wonderful attention today.